Thank you, Andrew. Guys, is it not a blessing to have the keyboard players we have and the musicians we have? Amen? Amen. It's such a blessing. Brother Russell, and hallelujah. You know, Brother Russell and Brother Davidson on the keyboards. And then, you know, we have three drummers. And that's because, well, we have two guitarists. And the reason we have an extra in all of these things is because Brother Davidson can play all of it. And these other guys are just marvelously gifted. Amen? Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so good to be here this morning. If you have your Bibles, whether in printed or digital format, hold your Bibles up and hold God's Word up all over the sanctuary. Amen. Hallelujah. Please turn in the Word of God to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. If you have your notes with you, get those in front of you. Get ready to fill in your notes. We're going to have an opportunity to jot down a few things that the Lord has given us this morning. Reading from the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this day. We give thanks for this opportunity to be in your house. Father, it is such a blessing to be here to praise your holy name. And now, Father, we ask that you touch the teacher, that his heart would reflect your heart, that his lips would speak only your truths. Forgive him his sins, for they are many. And let us hear the soft sound of sandaled feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's just been a wonderful day. You know, we had a wonderful day out here yesterday. We had a church work day out here yesterday. And there was like 15 or 16 or more of us out here. And we had a great time working in God's house, cleaning up what God has given us. Amen? And, you know, however, I learned that you know, Brother John Bell and Pastor Ivan apparently are tasked with keeping an eye on me. They caught me embellishing my service to the Lord. I stated initially that I got out here and I started working at 9:30 or so, 9:30 to 9:45, and then a little later, as I got tireder, you know, and I didn't want to work that much anymore, I shared, "Well, I have been out here since 9:15," and they just took a look at each other and said, "If we keep working the pastor much longer, he'll have been out here by 8 o'clock." And but we had just a great time, and just a great time of fellowship and cleaning up what God has blessed us with. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. When you came to church this morning, did you find any traffic problems? Yeah, traffic problems all over. You know, when you came to church this morning, though, you did travel by some kind of road. And all of us have traveled roads in our lives. Amen? Different highways. I know that when we were younger, this may come as a shock to some of you younger folks, but there was no such thing as an interstate highway or a turnpike. They did not exist. Those things came along later after President Eisenhower passed the Interstate Act in the late 1950s, and the interstate system began being built. Yes, that's correct. I remember the 50s. But, you know, we also traveled different kind of roads through our life. When I was stationed in Alaska when I was in the military, and when we came back from Alaska, we drove the Alcan Highway. Pretty impressive way to come back down to see all of what God has created on this planet. The good thing about the Alcan Highway is that when you drive from Alaska back down, there is one highway. You don't need a map. You just keep going straight until it tells you you are now off of the Alcan Highway. And so that is what we're going to talk about today. Today's message is titled, The Road to Life. And if you are visiting us today or watching on the internet and you've never received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, we want you to know that Emmanuel Baptist Church, every member here, every Christian that you come in contact today, does not want you to go home apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to get to heaven and see you there. Amen? Amen, church? Amen. Hallelujah. So, but the road I want to talk to you today is about the road to everlasting life. Some people would call it the road of the straight and narrow. Amen? And I want you to see three things in today's passage and a few other passages that we're going to look about getting on and staying on the road to life. I have three simple points. We'll spend the majority of our time in the first point, which is, if you look at the screens, you have a decision to face. You have a decision to face. Friends, in other words, the road that you travel, the road to eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ, or the road to perdition, destruction, otherwise known as the road to hell, is up to you. It is a free will decision. Nobody's going to force you to take one road or the other. In fact, no one can force you. And there are only two ways, according to this passage, that you can travel down this road, and one is the broad and one is the narrow road. Now, for all of our Christians here that have been saved for a long time, how many times in your life have you heard a message about the broad road and the narrow road? Many times, amen? I'm certain you've heard this message many, many times. And today we're going to unpack some truths for us. For many of us, just a reminder. And for other of us, it may be something you've never heard before. You can travel the broad and the narrow way that leads to life, the wide path that leads to destruction. Modern man, modern society does not like that. They do not care for that at all. And in other words, they get defensive when you tell them that there is only one way to heaven, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? I am so glad you asked. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus was asked about this. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, the world likes to put people in all kinds of categories, all types of grades and classifications: upper class, middle class, lower class, royalty. But God has two classes: the sheep and the goats. Hallelujah. Biblically speaking, known as the saved and the lost. That's all. That is God's classifications. Now, I know that my idea may not be too pleasing to the world. It may not be pleasing to those listening in right now. But here's the deal. When you preach the truth of God, it's not always going to be a man pleaser. Hallelujah. This may come as a shock. You may not know this. But the Lord Jesus Christ never preached to please the crowd. Never. He was worried about your eternal soul. He was worried about my eternal soul. I was sharing with the dear members of our church this morning. They come from the hills of Tennessee. And they're talking about tent revivals. And I'm wondering if I'd ever been to a tent revival. I was saved at a tent revival. I was saved. We came forward. I received the Lord Jesus Christ. They marched me out the back of the tent. Told me to go over in this little tent, this little covered area over here, and put on my baptismal robe. And I put on the baptismal robe, and he took me right down and baptized me in the river. I came up out of the river. Well, there were a lot of people getting saved that day. The Lord must have sent a bunch of sinners. And so as soon as I came up out of the water, they snatched my robe off. And so I'm just standing there in my drawers. I thought it must be a Baptist thing. And so they said, "You can go get dressed now." And I walked over and I put on my shirt and my pants. I went home that day with my baptismal belt, the wet belt right around the middle there. And everybody knew I'd been baptized. It was exciting. Hallelujah. But listen, guys. You want to talk about a preacher that cut it right down the middle, that told the truth. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not concerned with our feelings. He was concerned with our salvation. Amen. Now look at these verses for just a moment. Let's see what our Lord is talking about in them. In verses 13 and 14, Jesus tells us through the Bible that there are only two kinds of travelers. There are only two kinds of roads, the broad and the narrow. Look down at verse 17. If you dare, say amen. Amen. "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears what? Bad fruit." In other words, there's two kinds of trees. They either produce good fruit or evil fruit. Skip on down to verses 24 through 27. If you're there, say amen. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fail, for it was founded, what? On the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on what, church?
Sand.
The sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. There are two kinds of houses. Those built on the rock, which is, of course, an imagery of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or those built on the sand. Emmanuel Baptist Church is to be built on the rock.
Amen.
The rock of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we apply these verses to our lives? What is God trying to tell us here? This is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. I say this every week, and I'm going to say it again this week. This is a love letter from God. It's a hymn book. It's all about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read your Bible and you don't find the Lord Jesus Christ lurking in the shadows, you have read your Bible incorrectly. Amen? Hallelujah. And see, listen, friends. What is our passages today are saying is that you are a traveler that is traveling on one of two types of roads, the narrow or the wide. You are a tree bearing two types of fruit. Either it is good fruit or it is bad fruit. You are a builder building on one of two kinds of houses, either on the rock or on the sand. That is how God looks at things. And today I want you to look around here in the sanctuary for just a moment. That's okay. Go ahead and look around. Look at your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to remember that you're going to be with them forever. Amen? So, you guys look good, by the way. We're all here today in what we call our glad rags. You know, all dressed up for church, looking good here. But we would look around this sanctuary and say that there are young and old. There may be rich and poor, weak and strong, and so on. That's what we see. But God doesn't look at the outward part. The Lord looks at the heart. And the Bible says that there are only two types of people here today. The saved and the lost. It's just that simple. And by the way, it is not rude to say that. It's simply speaking the truth. We are to share truth and love. Amen? We are to hate the sin, but love the sinner. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. God looks at the heart. And there are those that are with Jesus here today, and those that have not made a decision for Christ yet. But I want you to understand, you can't walk down the middle of a road. That's not how this works. You are either loving Him, or you are ignoring Him. You are with Him, or you are against Him. You have received Him, or those that have so far rejected Him. You have either crowned Him the Lord of your life, or you have not. Those are the people that are here today, friends. In other words, those on the road to heaven and those on the road to hell. And it's the goal of this message to get you on the straight and narrow. Hallelujah. We don't want to get to heaven without you. Back there on the camera, if you're watching on the internet, we want to see your face in heaven and for you to say, "Hey, I joined Emmanuel Baptist Church on October 7th, 2018, and that day I was saved." And I know all of you people because you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? So listen, friends. That's what the world thinks is narrow-minded. That's just narrow-minded. That's just mean-spirited. They say, surely there's another way to heaven. In fact, they do everything possible to broaden the narrow road and talk their way into heaven. They corrupt the Word of God. They'll tell you that God has a wonderful plan for your life and that everyone is going to heaven. That is actually being preached on the airwaves today. But Jesus did not preach that way. Jesus taught and consistently preached that we have a choice to choose the narrow road or the wide road to perdition. That we could receive Him and travel the straight and narrow. Church, there is one way to heaven, and it's through the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one gospel, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at what the great apostle of grace himself, Paul, said. You'll see it on the screen in the Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Very familiar passage. It says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that, than what we have preached to you, let him be what? Accursed. As we have said before, so now I say it again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you, what you have received, let him be accursed." There is one gospel. There is to be no compromise with the gospel. Many people ask, well, what is the gospel? Where do you find that? I'm so glad you asked. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, I love to see the pages of those Bibles being flipped over. Sounds like angels' wings in here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. If you're there, please say amen. If you're there in a paper Bible, please say amen. Amen. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to what? The Scriptures." See, this is not Brister, this is Bible, amen? If you're coming here to get advice from Brister, you are on the wide road to perdition. We want to hear what God has to say from His Word. Listen to me, the Bible is a narrow book. It preaches the narrow way. But that's good. I'm a simple guy. Don't give me a bunch of choices. Amen? And most men are like that, by the way. All right? I don't take hints well at all. If Miss Ruth Ann wants to go out to lunch or go out to dinner, here's how she gives me a hint. Take me out to dinner. Because she can hint all she wants, I'm not going to get it. And I'm like that with God's Word. I like it when the Lord just tells me what is there. But you know what? I don't understand why this is such an issue for people about it being a narrow book. Think of it this way. If I'm traveling by airplane, I want my pilot to be what? Narrow-minded. I don't want him to come on the speaker and say, "Well, today, folks, we're going somewhere west of here." I want the flight plan to be narrow. I want to take off here and land where I want. I don't want my pharmacist to say, "Those pills should be close enough. Go ahead and take them." I don't want my bank saying, "Your money should be here somewhere." I don't want Social Security. Never mind. Jesus said there are two ways and you have a decision. You're free to choose as you wish. But listen to me, it is only because of the grace of God that we have a choice at all. If you look on the screen at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, I quote this scripture quite often. "For by grace you have been saved through what, church?
Faith.
Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." We are free to choose a narrow road to heaven because God has extended grace, unmerited favor. He is giving us what we do not deserve, and the only way that He can do that is by extending mercy as well. Amen? By not giving us what we do deserve. God is good. What, church?
All the time.
And all the time? And we are free to choose the proper road. Why did God do this? Why did God give us this grace? Why did He give us the gift of faith? Because God knows that we are sinful creatures and we would never make that choice on our own. Never. And so He sends His Holy Spirit to touch our hearts. But there's something you may know. I've just been preaching that you are free to choose. But something that you may not know is we are not free to not choose. Now see, I worked on that real hard. I'm going to say that one more time. We are not free to not choose. God says you must choose a side. What does it say in the Bible? "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Just listen, friends. even this very minute, whether you are sitting here in the sanctuary or you're watching online or you're listening to a DVD or an audio CD later on, this very minute, you are being challenged to decide. You cannot be neutral. Turn a few pages over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Now, if someone in the back with a paper Bible is there, please say amen. There we go. He who is not with me is what?
Against
me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Jesus is saying, you must decide. You must. There is no way that you can be neutral. And so today, listen carefully, church. You will be leaving this building after service today, and you will take a physical road home. But you will be on a spiritual road as well. Safely traveling the narrow road to heaven or not. You are free to choose. But like I just said a moment ago, you are not free to not choose. And there are consequences to your choices. Now listen to me, church. Everybody look up here. We believe in the inerrant Word of Almighty God. Because we believe in the inerrant Word of Almighty God, we are a theologically conservative church. Because we are a theologically conservative church, we are a socially conservative church. I'm not talking politics. I'm talking about what the Word of God says. Amen? There are consequences to people's choices. What do I mean by consequences? You can make a free will choice to sleep with anyone that you choose. But you're not free to choose the consequences. And those consequences may be a baby. It may be. There's been a tremendous battle going on in our nation's capital, across our nation, over the Supreme Court justice. People say the argument is about the man, or this or that. But what it's really about is Roe versus Wade. That's at the foundation of what it is about. That is at the core of it. And it's tearing our country apart. The country that could have "In God We Trust" on its money, and yet have Roe versus Wade in its laws. It's an abomination to Almighty God. Because it tears the heart of God apart. Some people say, "I'm pro-choice, and therefore I've decided I am not going to have this Bible, this baby." That is so untrue. That is not true whatsoever. Because they already have a baby. It's simply not born. What they're deciding is whether it will be an alive baby or a dead baby. That is what they are choosing. Because there's a live baby inside of them. Now, I never preach politics from the pulpit. I simply don't do that. When it comes down for election time, I say, take your Bible, hold this Bible up against the people, and make a biblical choice on who you're going to vote for. I preach the Bible regardless of political party. I don't cherry pick verses or topics. This just happened to come up as I was praying for this message. I preach what comes up in Scripture. And so I say to everybody listening today, when it comes to pro-choice or pro-life, you do have a choice. But legalized abortion is an affront to Almighty God. It's an affront to Him. And there will be consequences for those lawmakers someday. But listen to me. You don't have to go there. You simply choose the narrow road. You know, I've had people say, "Pastor Larry, you guys want me to do this because I don't know the truth. Or you just want to get me to into this thing where there's a whole bunch of thou shalt nots." Let me share this with you. If you're out there today and you're considering an abortion, don't choose that. Choose the Lord Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you what will happen. You know, people say, "Well, if I choose Jesus, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do the other." That is not the fact at all. If you choose Jesus, you won't want to do those other things. You will want to follow Almighty God. Hallelujah. And so, friends, that is what it is all about. And so, our leaders who have money in their pockets, "In God We Trust," need to remember it's God that they will face for the consequences of their actions. Now let me clear up something else for you real quick about free will. Amen? Back to the road, narrow or wide. You don't have to choose hell. to go there, all you have to do is not receive Jesus Christ. That is the truth. Why? Because you're already on the Broadway. You're already on the Broadway. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 again. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Enter by the narrow gate. What does it say? Enter the narrow way. Jesus doesn't say, don't enter the Broadway. Why does he not say that? You're already on the Broadway. He says, enter the narrow way. What must you do to be saved? Acts chapter 16, verse 31. The Dr. Luke writing, where the Apostle Peter said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I thought I'd get a testimony there. I'm glad I brought my own. I'm so glad I'm saved today, I don't know what to do with myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And guess what? All these people, you're going to be together forever. Guess what? You're going to be with me too. Amen. And listen, I hope. I saw the bulletin board as we came in this morning, and whoever did that, God bless you. Look at a sign right out to the right side of the door there. There's a nice little message written in candy. For all your pastors. And I've been told I can't take the candy till the end of the month. So I want you to know that if any candy's missing, it was Pastor Divine, not me. What do you need to be lost? Nothing. We're already lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the newsflash. We are sinners by birth. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by choice. And we are sinners on the Broadway. But God, who is rich in mercy, while we were yet dead in our sins, sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, that all that believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you first have a decision to make. We'll move quickly now. Second, we have a direction to follow. A direction to follow. The straight direction is to follow Jesus Christ. Now, how simple is that? Let me tell you a truth about Christianity. Christianity can be hard sometimes. If you're looking for an easy way of life, if you're looking for a lazy way to serve the Lord, forget it. It's not going to happen. We spent hours cleaning this place up yesterday. Hours. And when we got this morning, guess what? Trash all over. And I know Miss Peggy and Miss Doreen that did all the trash picking up yesterday throughout the yard were praying hard for whoever did that. That they would find their way in this morning. Amen, ladies? That they'd find a way in here. You know, listen, guys. It is rewarding to serve Jesus Christ, but it costs to serve Him. A few years ago, there was a young man in Africa that was martyred for being a Christian. And before he died, after he died, they found something that he had written in his room. And I want to read that to you for a moment. And I quote his words. I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking, cheap living, and warped goals. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable, and my mission is clear. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I must go until He comes. Give until I drop. Preach until everyone knows. Work until He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me because my banner will have been clear. I say glory be to God for that young man. Amen. Glory be to God. You see, serving Christ can cost you your life. But there's nothing more rewarding. Jesus says, straight is the way. And by the way, that way is not crowded either. Look at the end of verse 14. It says, there are few who find it. So let me give you a passage real quick. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35, if you would please. We're going to pick it up in verse 8. We're going to read through verse 10. One of my very favorite passages in all of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 8 through 10. If you're there, please say amen. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be forever for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed of God, children, the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Choose the holy highway to Almighty God. Amen. So first, we have a decision to face. Second, a direction to follow. Third, we see a destiny to find. Every road is going somewhere. Unless the government's involved and you get a bridge to nowhere. But every road is going somewhere, including the road that you are traveling in life right now. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question. Are you ready? Say amen.
Amen.
I want you to ask yourself, when I get where I'm headed, where will I be? When I get where I'm headed, where will I be? Listen to me. Look at your notes real quick right there. You see your notes right in front of you if you've been filling in? Look at it this way. Your decisions determine your direction. And your direction determines your destiny. Your decisions determine your direction. Your direction determines your destiny. So I ask you again, when you get where you are headed, where will you be? Here's what I want. I want Emmanuel Church to walk the straight and narrow, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout all the ends of the world. I want us to get cleaned up, get the place straightened up. Hallelujah. I want us to not let up or stop or give up at all. I want us to continue sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because where you are headed right now, whether you're here in the sanctuary or watching on the internet, it will be either fabulous or absolutely fearful. It will be death or it will be life. And it's your own free will choice. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that you might have life and have it what? Abundantly. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. This is the important part, guys. You have a free will choice to go to heaven as long as you are alive. Listen to me. I'm going to say it again. You have a free will choice to go to heaven as long as you are alive. But there is no chance after death. I don't care what denomination you're a part of or what religion you're a part of. You have a free will choice as long as you are alive. Revelation 22:11 says, he who is unjust, let him be what? Unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. I've studied this book for many years. I've read it. I've loved it. Prayed over it. Wept over it. Preached out of it. I cannot find one place in the Word of God, not one place, where God offers one shred of hope to those who die outside the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to go to heaven, you must receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And once you die, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, your destiny is guaranteed. But here's the great news. See, that's how us preachers do it. You know, we hit you with the hard news, bad news, and then right before you get up and walk out the door, we hit you with the good news. It's guaranteed if you are with Christ as well. Your future is guaranteed. I can't wait to see Red dancing in heaven. Can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see you, my friends here in church, dancing in heaven, glorifying God. And based upon the inerrant word of Almighty God, I can guarantee you today that if you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, you will go to heaven. And there is absolutely no reason not to. None. Choose Jesus. You may be here today and you say, you know, Pastor Larry, I don't know much about religion. I don't know much about Bible. I don't understand everything that you're saying. You don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how I've been, what kind of person I've been. Well, that may be true. But all that is needed for you to go to heaven is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gloriously simple fact, and it is simply glorious fact as well. If you would, please, look at the screen one last time. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." You see that, whoever desires, that reads in some translations, whosoever will. Let whosoever will, let them take the water of life freely. Who is a whosoever will? It means exactly that. Whosoever will. Pastor Larry, I'm not that smart. I don't understand everything. You don't need to. Whosoever will. Pastor Larry, I haven't read all the way through my Bible yet. That's not what it says. Whosoever will. Pastor Larry, I've done some terrible things in my life. I say, are you still breathing? Yes. Then whosoever will. It is never too late. There is no hole so deep that the love of God and the Lord Jesus Christ is not deeper still. Come to Christ. Come today. And be assured of an eternity in heaven with Him. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As our praise team comes to the front, I just want you guys to look up here for just a second. You've been so wonderfully patient this morning. And what I want you to understand, I look around this room and I see all of my many friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. You're already saved. You're already redeemed of God. You're already on your way to heaven. But I don't know every person here. And I can't think of a better Sunday than to have somebody come forward and receive Jesus Christ as Lord. You see, Christ calls us to public profession of faith. Public profession. And so in just a moment, I'm going to pray. And when I pray, I want you to, if you've received Jesus Christ as Lord today for the first time in your life, I want you to repeat those prayers quietly to yourself. Amen? Now, it's not the prayer that saves you. It's not doing anything in particular that saves you, but except receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, does baptism save me? No, we should follow the Lord in baptism. We should follow Him. But that does not save us. Well, Pastor, I haven't given anything to the church. That's not what saves you. How do I know these things? The thief on the cross. The thief on the cross told the Lord Jesus Christ, "Remember me this day in heaven." And Jesus, what did He say? "Surely this very day you shall see, I shall see you in paradise." And what happened? Did that guy have time to get good? No. Did he have time to go to church? No. Did he have time to give of his offerings and tithes? No. Did he have time to do anything? Get baptized? No. No. All he had time to do was receive Jesus Christ as Lord. So come today and receive Christ as Lord. There may be another type of person here today. You've received Christ as Lord, but you've never been baptized by immersion. And we invite you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ's example, to be baptized by immersion. Or you may be here today and you say, "Hey, I like these people. These are pretty great folks here. I'd like for this to be my church home. I'd like to join Emmanuel Baptist Church. I'm already saved, Pastor. Please, I'd love to join this fellowship." Just come forward and we'll take care of that. With every head bowed and every eye closed all over the sanctuary, if you receive Jesus Christ for the first time today, I want you to pray these words quietly to yourself. "Lord Jesus, today I believe You are the Son of God. I believe that You came from heaven to earth to die on the cross because having led a sinless life, You were worthy. I believe You did die on the cross of Calvary, that they took You down. You were placed in the grave and You stayed there in that grave. But on the third day, You rose again alive to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, because You have defeated death in the grave, today, October 7th, 2018, Lord Jesus, I receive You as my Lord. I confess that I'm a sinner. Please save me, Lord Jesus. And I will follow you to the best of my ability all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Now look up here. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And whatever decision that you made, I want you to, as we sing, be bold, step right out and come down this aisle and just come to me. Even if it wasn't one of those things, if you just want to pray for a moment, please come down. I'd love to have a moment just to pray with you. If you would, please stand all over the sanctuary as we sing.